Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
So we sat down today with Mayo's Andy Moran at PricewaterhouseCoopers offices in Dublin. Andy had just picked up, as you might be expecting to hear, the PwC GA GPA Player of the Month Award for August. And it's been 8 days, 9 days now since their loss to Dublin in the All-Ireland Final. So I started off by asking Andy Moran to describe the last 8, 9 days of his life.
Yeah, it's been an unusual week, really, in terms of, you know, we lose the final on Sunday. We have our function, which we thought was going to be really tough. My own fans were that good. It was actually okay. We come home to a homecoming on Monday. Again, thought it was going to be really tough. You know, you get to the stage, you say, you know, how many homecomings can you have? But the Mayo fans turned out in their numbers again at McHale Park. McHale Park was full. And it ended up being a really, really good day, you know. We had a good night's crack on the Monday. Good night's crack on the Monday. I went home on the Tuesday, but the boys just had a good week. But I went home on the Tuesday and went back to work on Wednesday.
Did you want to get back to work to get away from it all and get your mind back on normal things? Or did you just actually have to go back to work?
Well, you know, I suppose I had to go back to work. I hadn't been seen for a couple of days leading up to the final, and when it's your own business, you have to go back to work. But in terms of just, it's kind of the way I deal with games. If I try to get in as early to the game as I can, just to face the music. Mm. Once you do that, then it's all over. You know, it dies down fairly quick. If you let it go for a week or two, then you're dragging the match for the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know.
You've been through this routine before. David Brady talked about 06 coming home and again seeing like the lines of people there to welcome the team home, and just, I think he said the phrase he used was not being able to look them in the eye, just thinking, oh my God, how many times.
Yeah.
On that Monday when you go home and it's another homecoming, like, are you silly enough to feel guilty in some ways, or do you, what are the emotions when you're seeing everybody out there?
Yeah, I suppose I was part of the 04 and 06 team as well, and it was it's a lot different, if I'm being honest with you. Like 04, 06, we got to All-Ireland Finals. We were playing against a Kerry team who were just streets ahead of us.
Yeah.
Like in 04, Dar O'Shea and Seamus Moynihan didn't even play. They were both injured, you know. Mm. And like, I agree with David, to be honest, on that regard. It was hard to look people in the eye because we brought them to Croke Park. Did we have a chance to win it? We probably did if we performed, but there were streets ahead of us.
Yeah.
Since 2012, we played Donegal. They were in... They were on the crest of a wave. We were on a crest of a wave. We were two new teams on the block, and Donegal were probably just better than us on the day. And the last three finals, I suppose, we've lost each of them by a point to a Dublin team now who've won three in a row. And do I think we feel any shame in that? Absolutely not. Mm. No, I think the beauty about playing for Mayo at this present time, which will hold with me for the rest of my life, is that the team and the supporters are united. Mm. I suppose they're united in grief, they're united in joy when we beat the likes of Kerry in a semi-final, and when we get back there is sympathy, but I didn't feel sympathy. I felt, you know, I felt come on, let's go again, let's go at it, you know.
Yeah. They're easier to take, these more recent ones, because you're a better team and you're thereabouts.
Yeah, they're easier to take in terms of meeting the supporters, absolutely, no doubt.
But for you, privately in your home?
Privately in my home, it's you know, I suppose we're not getting any younger in terms of football. Makes it a bit harder when you're that close. But I suppose now I'm 33, coming 34 in November. I have a wife and child at home, my own business, so life kind of takes over, and I take it now as football, really, to be honest with you. And I think it's healthier for me in terms of in the way I prepare for games.
Yeah. Are there specifics from last Sunday which have lingered with you? Like, you'll analyse the game and review the game in great depth, I'm sure, over the coming months, or think about it. At this point, are there certain, I'm talking small margins, clearly, are there certain things which have stood out to you more so than others?
I think the free before half time was a big incident in the game. Because if we turned that ball over, we could go in 3 points up.
Yeah.
Dean kicks a great score. Dean Rock kicks a great score from that free. And I don't think it was a free. I think it's fairly universal that it wasn't a free, which is a big moment of point. Is there anything really that lingers? Not really, to be honest. It's a loss, if I'm being honest. Like, I think we probably could have created more in the first half, scored a few more. But Dublin really could have scored a bit more too. Dublin missed a few chances as well in the first half. Mm. Con O'Callaghan scores a goal with the first kick of the game, really.
Yeah.
So you have to take that into effect too. So even to go in ahead at half time after that goal was probably a good achievement, you know?
Well, it was total domination in the first half of Cluston's kickouts.
Yeah.
Interestingly, he went short with every single kickout in the second half. 11 of 11 they won, whereas of the eight they went long in the first half with Mayo 1-6, the O'Shea's and Parsons picking up huge amount of balls. It was kind of domination, really. Was there no way to force Cluston into going long as that second half continued?
Yeah, but I suppose if you look at the likes of Barcelona or City or the way they're playing soccer, the pass so they don't go along over you, so they can force you to come in short, press it, and then force you to go over it. So there's an awful lot in a lot more going on there than just, can you not just push five into the full forward line and make them go long again? Because if you push five into the full forward line, you're probably bringing Aidan and Shamey with you anyway, do you know? So there's an awful lot of ins and outs of that. Did they get too much return off their kick out? It's something I haven't analysed. Did they get too much return? Yes, they won their kick up, but did they get too much return off it? We still went down in the second half and we scored 1-7.
Yeah.
Was it 1-7?
Yeah.
In the second half. So that was a good return for us in the second half, you know. So if you gave us 1-7 at half time, we'd have probably taken it, you know?
Yeah. What percentage shot conversion target do you set for yourself? Or as a team, not just you personally? Because you hit 59% in that final.
Okay. To be honest with you, I think you lie a lot about stats. I think I've seen a stat one, it was in Cruyff's book actually, about Messi, that they said, Joe, if you look at stats, Messi has 10 shots a game, he only scores 3, so they're crap stats. Do you know? But he scores a hat-trick, he's the winner, do you know? So, I don't really look at stats.
You wouldn't set a conversion target?
No, I'd set maybe a conversion target for myself, or a target for myself, how many shots I need to be getting in the game. But in terms of a team, conversion rate, stuff like that, that's just putting pressure on your shooters, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure the free takers do it, but I'm sure from open play, I'm not sure. I personally haven't done it.
On the upside, do you take much solace in the fact that you had player of the year, contender season, some of your best form over the last 2 years? Why is that?
Yeah, I was saying it there earlier. I think it's a weird one because last year, like the All-Star nomination, I didn't even get an All-Star, which is, the All-Star nomination probably meant more to me than the nomination this year and the Player of the Year nomination because, let's be honest, in 14 I was the captain, I was in and out of the team. 15 I was in and out of the team, probably used as an impact sub when we got to Croke Park. And in 2016, my career was nearly as good as over. I was getting 6-8 minutes at the end of the game. Stephen took a punt on me against Kildare after some good club form, and then all of a sudden I took off. So in a weird sort of way, last year's nomination probably meant an awful lot more to me.
It probably was,
and it got me back to a level that I always, after all my injuries, I felt I could always get back to that level.
Yeah.
So it probably meant a bit more to me last year, even though I didn't win an All-Star or nothing like that. It probably meant that bit more to me, you know?
Because we're talking about a broken leg in 2011, followed quickly by a cruciate in 2012. Yeah. So me and everybody else looking in says, right, Moran's done.
Yeah.
That's kind of it.
Yeah.
And John Casey tells a story about bumping into you outside Croke Park and sort of saying, well, look, you're in it. A couple of years ago, you're an impact sub now. That's where you are.
Yeah.
And you said, well, you can cough. And that's, you know, Holmes is telling me the same thing and everyone's saying the same thing to me. It's an insidious little seed to sow in your brain. And if you start to listen to it, you could very easily have believed it and thought, look, well, I have to look at this rationally. I am the age I am.
Yeah.
That is where I am. So how do you fight back against that? What, talk to us about that attitude shift, or how you said, I'm not accepting that at this point in my life.
I've always kind of been fighting against it anyway, to be honest, Joe. I was never really blessed with great genes in terms of speed, in terms of height, in terms of my body in general. So I've kind of always been fighting. I've always been questioned, is Andy good enough? Is he not good enough? Even when I was 19, 20 years old on the team.
Too small, you mean?
Yeah, too small, too slow, stuff like that. So, like, I always felt I'd get better as I got older because I started learning the game a tiny bit more. And so it's probably just the way I am. I'm probably just a bit thick, like, you know. I'm probably just got stuck in and just went for it, you know. I wasn't accepting. I always thought I'd kind of a role to play within the team. Even if it was only 20 minutes, I always thought I'd have a role. And I kind of always said to myself that I'd never quit kind of doing it, like, because I love doing it. So I'll keep going till I'm probably told to sling one, you know.
So there was never that doubt, there was that stubbornness the whole time.
Yeah, there's always doubts. I'd still have doubts. I'd have huge doubts in terms of performance and stuff like that. But like,
and what do you do with them?
You know, Tuesday, Wednesday wouldn't be nice coming up to games, if I'm being honest, you know.
Right.
But by the time Friday comes around, I'm myself convinced that, okay, we're ready to go here, you know. So it's, I just keep going. I do a lot of reading now and stuff like that, and do, you know, small, just bits and pieces on the psychological front that help me.
Any books in particular?
Yeah, I love the kind of there's two or three from Ryan Holiday. It's The Obstacle is the Way and stuff like that. So I like kind of them kind of philosophy kind of books more so than anthems,
right.
You know?
What's the general gist of that?
Just don't be feeling sorry for yourself, really, more so than anthems, you know?
Yeah. So the gym has been mentioned a lot. You set up your own gym in the last couple of years as opposed to being in the car up and down the country. Is that one of the things that's made a huge difference physically? Like, are you a different beast because of that?
Yeah, so the gym, I suppose, has taken the whole story about the gym has taken a life of its own, really. Yeah. But what happened was,
I feel like driving down to this gym at this stage.
Yeah, you know, like, it's a gym. Like, you know, it's but the point about the gym is that before I got injured, there was no problem with me being a sales rep.
Yeah.
But as soon as I broke my leg, as soon as I did my cruciate, my whole body was kind of out of balance and stuff like that. Right, so what happened to me really was I was trucking along, in and out of the team, couldn't really train properly, was never really training, if I'm being honest.
Right.
And in 2014, I met Aina Falvey and my strength and conditioning coach, Barry Solon. The two of them sat down in a room with me, developed a big plan for me. I couldn't play for 6 months. Didn't play for 6 months. Pat and Noel were good enough to mean not to play me, and held on to me for 6 months. And then from that day on, I think there's been a continuous improvement.
Okay.
Where the gym has helped is that I didn't have to get back into the car.
Okay.
So that's where the gym has helped more so than that. I'm on my feet instead of sitting down driving around the country.
Okay, because as I imagine it, you know, Andy Moran's at the desk in the gym, and he just does a few pull-ups on the way to the toilet, and then he walks back, does a few sit-ups. You're kind of working out 24 hours a day.
Yeah, no, it makes it sound like it's a Rocky movie, but it's not. It's just, like, I suppose the motto is, like, the gym is movement. Like, it's called the movement, so basically the reason it's called the movement is because it got me moving in terms of where I came from, do you know?
I saw you gave the Mayo ladies use of your gym in the build-up to, I guess, the final and everything, and just all season. You went up in Croke Park to support them. Was that difficult going back? Was it nice to go back? Was it just any other day in Croke Park?
Yeah, so I suppose we had this gig here today. Yeah. So myself and Jenny decided we'd get away for a couple of days. So we said we'd go to Croke Park. It was a very hard day. It was a very hard day supporting the girls because I have so much time for them. The likes of Cora and the girls, I just think they're incredible. I actually don't think I've ever seen a team training as hard in my life. But in terms of walking into the place, I didn't think I'd find it as hard, but it was a hard day, yeah.
As you're walking in, what's the feeling, or what's in your head? What's the picture?
Like, I hadn't thought about it. It was I walked in and just came out, and we were sitting in the premium level, and it was just when you look out on the pitch and you see the guys, and you're just all of a sudden, then it clicks in. The week just clicks in, you know. And it was then when the girls got bet, and the girls got bet at the end, seeing the images of Cora and Yvonne Byrne and the girls, it was just tough. It just brings it all back to you. But again, you can kind of reset your mind there again and just say, right, okay, come on, we want to change this picture, you know.
I don't think I'll ever doubt this Mayo team again, because I watched all the games and the qualifiers, and honestly, the Derry game, some of the shooting, I just couldn't, it was like hard to believe what was happening. Yeah. There were some really iffy performances. You get to the serious end of it, and something which you guys clicks, and that's 2 years in a row that's happened now. So I really don't care what I see for the next 10 months, because this Mayo team will perform when they get back to Croke Park. Do you think now the best thing, take 6 months off everyone, get as many young players into the league, build up the squad, and trust that we can peak for August again? Or how are you going to approach going again January 2018?
On a personal level?
Personal level and a bit of both the team. Like, I wonder, does Higgins need a rest? Does Keegan need a rest? Do all of these guys need a big long break until almost May?
Yeah, on a personal level, I will try to play the league as much of the league as I can, because that's the way I need my head to be kind of saying, this is what I can kind of do, and this is what I can move, and this is the way I like to prepare for games and stuff like that. And just, I like habits and stuff like that. So I like creating habits and stuff like that. So myself, the team itself, it's a really good group. Like, and like I've said it before, like, as my old people, we are a bit nuts. Like we're like, you see the support we get. Like, we'll have 15,000 people at our first league game.
Yeah.
No matter who's against, in McHale Park. So
we've met David Brady.
Yeah. I know David isn't a reflection. But like, we are. That is the way we are. And like, football is a religion to us. Like, so people say, is it hard coming back? To me, it's football, and this is the team we love. Like, when you play county football now, it's nearly your club team.
Mm.
And like, a lot of us have been together now since we were 19, 20 years of age. So, Joe, you like familiarity, you like seeing faces. I expect a good few of them to play a lot of the league.
Yeah,
to be honest with you. And like, what happened this year, the pressure on us after we got bit by Galway, I think the pressure was huge.
Mm.
You mentioned the Derry game, the pressure that night was just insane, you know. And I think once we just drop that pressure on ourselves for the second day against Roscommon, I think we just started playing.
Yeah.
And I think that's basically what happened.
How strong is your belief that Mayo will win an All-Ireland in your time in the next couple of years?
I've always had strong belief since 2004, really.
Changed?
No, it's not. I suppose my outlook on football has probably changed. Like, if we had the same result when I was 25 years of age, I'd say it'd probably take me a month, maybe 2 months to get off it, get over it. But is November going to be a tough place for us to play? Yes, it is. Like, it's definitely going to be a tough month when all the club stuff is finished, and then you have time to reflect. That's going to be a tough. But my belief is still there. Like, what I really like about our group of players is now we can see that it's actually just football. Do you know? It's not. We can see what's important is that we perform. If we perform, we've got a really good chance, and we can move forward. So that's what really gives me good belief. What gives me good belief is we've got a young guy called James Kerr coming through the ranks, Conor Loftus, Stephen Cohen, we've Jeremy O'Connor, we've Evan Regan. All of a sudden now we've got a band of talent coming through that need to be nurtured and brought through. So is my belief strong? Yes. Is it... Joe, if football was only about winning, there was no point in the other 31 teams just playing. Do you know? Our aim now for the winter, and this is not just saying that our aim for the winter is to improve, and like, we're not like Dublin. We will find it difficult against other teams.
Yeah.
We're not going to steamroll teams the way Dublin do. So we're going to get it, and then if we get back to the chance of getting to the All-Ireland final, Joe, who knows?
I have one last question, and it is one last question because you've been very good with your time. I'm getting the dagger eyes. And I'm not asking this to get you in trouble, honestly.
Of course.
The kind of curious case of Balahadrine within football. This is just what you came up to talk about.
No, I'm so
100%. I wasn't really aware until a couple of years ago that Balahadrine in Roscommon, obviously part of Mayo, it goes back to an English landlord decision. We don't have time to get into all the vagaries of it now. But for you, are you a Roscommon man and you're a Mayo footballer and love Mayo football, or are you a Mayo footballer and Mayo person through and through? Because I know different people in the village have different takes.
My family would have been Roscommon. They came from a club called Western Gales out the road.
Right.
So dad would have moved into Ballagh. So like, I'm Mayo through and through.
So you're not a Roscommon man, you're a Mayo man.
No, I'm Mayo man. But we vote and we play community games and we do everything else in Roscommon better playing football.
Right, okay.
But like, our town is a brilliant town. So just a quick story, like, there's a solicitors there, O'Callaghan solicitors, they're true and true Roscommon. The day we beat Roscommon, the next morning there was a Mayo flag outside. Like, do you know? So like, they had a Roscommon flag up. So the people will support the town. Okay. There was a great pitcher, like there was a legend from our town called Brian Tansey, he used to be our coach when we were underage. So there's a tournament there every year. And you can see our town, our jerseys, there's Ballagh jerseys, Roscommon jerseys, Mayo jerseys, and Sligo jerseys, all in one photo of all the kids playing. So our town is not only in the border of Roscommon and Mayo, it's also in Sligo as well.
Okay.
So there's a bit of our town in Sligo as well.
Right.
So it's on the border of all three. So it's a great town. Is there a bit of banter, and does the banter go too far sometimes? 100%.
Yeah.
But in terms of the rivalry between, it's great that Roscommon are strong again because all of a sudden our town is alive again. Like, the story's gone back into the early 90s when it used to be really a bit violent, I think, but it was brilliant. But that's what you want, you know. You don't want it the other way. You want, and if Sligo could come again, it'd be brilliant, you know. So
yeah, I've taken up enough of your time. Hard luck again, and we'll see you next year, I've no doubt.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Cheers.
There you go, Andy Moran there, giving us his thoughts a week on Anarchia. And News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, official sponsor of the GAA Hurling Under 21 Championship. Keep up to date and follow hashtag Hurling to the Core. The very latest in the Champions League, we'll give you scores and more details in just a second. But Sevilla in Liverpool's group are 2-0 up on Maribor, as to be expected. Liverpool won all with Spartak Moscow. Spartak took the lead in that game. City still 0-0 at home to Shakhtar. Napoli 1-0 up on Feyenoord. Elsewhere, Real Madrid, courtesy of Gareth Bale, 1-0 up away to Dortmund. And it's 0-0 still between Spurs and Nicosia. Spurs away from home this evening. Short break, back with scores and more details on those goals.
Off the ball
on News Talk in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.